Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with ace producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. We are very happy, as we always are, aren't we, Rose, on Friday. And today it's Friday, June the 20th. Really doesn't matter what the date is. As long as it's a Friday, there'll be big smiles on our faces. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a terrific weekend. We are live here, 12.04 to 1 each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We stream and podcast the show for anywhere in the world listening at buckmastershow.com. You can also live stream the show at kvoi.com. That is our host radio station's website, our media partners. Fridays, we always like to do a big shout-out to all of them, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, TucsonSentinel.com, and Inside Tucson Business all provide links to my website, BuckmasterShow.com. The Friday Focus interview today is with Dwayne Bloomberg. Dwayne is the mayor of the town of Saharita. Joining me to question the mayor, Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. If you have a comment or question, call us on the Buckmaster Show, live line 790-2040, or you can become a friend of the Buckmaster Show, as we just pushed forward 3,400 friends, Rose. We hit that over the last 24 hours, so we're happy with that, and we invite, of course, all new friends. Dan Scheer, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Mayor, how are you doing?
Just fine. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate the invitation to join you guys
tonight. Now, I said town of Saharita. I should have said city.
No. Town is correct.
Well, maybe this is a crazy question, but somewhere along the line, I have sort of learned there are no crazy questions.
True enough.
Now, Marana also, of course, is incorporated, and I think they go by town as well.
Right.
So is there a population deal?
We have, Arizona has small cities and large towns, and to tell you the truth, I'm not sure of the legal distinction
between these. This was not to be my first question, but as I was reading that town, I was thinking, well, maybe they're not a town. Maybe they're a city, because I know you're incorporated, of course, in one of the incorporated jurisdictions of Southern Arizona. So it's actually up to the entity governing to call it a town or a city.
I believe so. There are probably some legal requirements.
Okay. But it would be weird if suddenly
Tucson called itself a town
Town of Gilbert, more than 200,000 people.
Right.
Okay.
Sure,
so. Anyway, Mayor, before you came up here to the studios, you signed a letter that the governor is hoping all mayors do the same thing concerning the A-10. Very favorable vote in the House of Representatives for the A-10.
Right.
That still has to go to the Senate. But what exactly is the governor requesting?
The governor wrote a letter to our congressional delegation in the Department of Defense and others, basically talking about Arizona's long connection with the military, its continuing commitment to the military at all of the various bases that are in the state. Of course, part of it is about DM and the A-10, but she also talks about the willingness of the state to consider all missions that might be proposed for the state.
I would think that because Saharita is fairly close to DM, that's real important to your town.
Oh,
the
indeed.
There's associated with the A-10, there's 2,000 people, military and civilians, but a lot more that work at the base. A lot of them probably live down in Saharita.
Oh, yes, very much indeed. The latest, there's a relatively new group. There's a group of public officials that meet with Colonel Blanchard, but of course he's leaving, but the wing commander and so forth, to just talk about issues. And the direct economic impact of DM on this area is just under $1 billion a year. This is a terrific asset and a very important piece of our economy. And you think of all the support businesses, it's incredible.
I would assume you'd agree with Frank Antonori, the senator who was on our show yesterday. We weren't talking politics with Frank. What we were talking was, because of his military background,
sure,
and he's an executive at Raytheon. He's got a lot of knowledge of weapons systems. He really, and I think he's on to something here. We need to hold on to the A-10 as long as possible. We really need to look at joint missions with perhaps Fort Huachuca.
Sure.
Yeah.
I see no problem whatsoever with that, and I personally don't have the qualifications to judge weapon systems and what the military should be doing. But the importance of DM and of the military in Arizona is very great.
Here's Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun.
Representative Andrea D'Alessandro today is up in Scottsdale at the Arizona-Mexico Commission.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Senator, yeah, you're right. And if you hadn't reminded me of that, she would have.
Yeah.
And she is from Saharita. We have talked about Saharita capturing some of the Mexico business in the past, and I know staff and council have been down there several times this year.
Yes.
Is there anything, is this going to bear fruit?
I think so, but in all of these things, you really have to wait and see. Our geographic location gives us a connection with Mexico, as do the increased traffic and so forth. I think probably we will develop, especially if this aerospace and defense corridor pans out, which I have high hopes for. And as you know, they want to, for example, relocate Hughes Access, another road, but locate that down to closer to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there'll be lots of possibilities. Our people are at the Mexican-American Commission today.
So what are you doing down in Mexico right now, though? Is it basically relationship building?
Exactly so. That's right. As you know, we're twin cities with Magdalena,
right,
Magdalena de Quino, and we're pursuing that pretty rigorously.
Dwayne Bloomberg is with us, the mayor of the town of Saharita, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have any questions for the mayor, he would be happy to entertain them. How is the town doing financially at this point?
Well, I'm pleased to report that we continue to be in good shape. We have actual unrestricted cash reserves of more than a year's income into the general fund. So we're in good shape, but a challenge will be to stay in good shape over time. We're a relatively new town, 20 years old. Most of our infrastructure is new and in very good shape, and we're able to repair it quickly and all. But this has the consequence that maybe 10 or 15 years down the road, we'll have a lot of infrastructure that needs attention all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to plan carefully how to be able to do that.
Because you are a new town, I would assume the roads are in pretty good shape and you don't get a lot of complaints like the city of Tucson about roads.
Yes, we're able to do potholes and stuff like that the next day.
Really?
When we get the report. And
do you have a dedicated budget to fixing potholes? And
yes, we do.
So
sure.
You get out there right away.
Yeah, we're in good shape now. And, of course, the Saharita Road, the east-west corridor, is brand new and is even under construction as we're speaking, renovation. So, our infrastructure is in very good shape.
As the mayor, you are a member of the Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA.
Indeed.
I don't know if were you just elected, were you now the president of the?
I'm the second vice president.
You're second
vice.
You're moving up the
ladder.
And I'm just wondering, the RTA now into its second five-year phase.
Yes.
Are you happy with what you're seeing?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty proud to be associated with the RTA, Bill.
Okay.
I think this is an example of an instance where a government does very well. There's a list of projects that were approved by the voters. RTA's on schedule to carry those out and even under budget. And I like what I see there. And when a project seems to be in an cost overrun situation, instead of just pouring more money, they do some re-engineering and they consider and try to find ways, how can we save some money here, and how can we do this project in budget? So I think RTA is a wonderful success story.
Okay, here's Dan Scherer.
Bill and I have talked on the air in the past about the Rancho Sarita Community Facilities District, the
yes.
CFD. Now that it's passed, can you give us a rundown on what it's designed to accomplish?
Okay. The question is, Rancho Sarita is a very large, several thousand acres, master planned development community. And the question is how to finance the public infrastructure, the roads mainly, but roads and sewer and drainage and all that goes with that. So, as you know, in an earlier time in this state and other states, municipalities just built the infrastructure and just did it. Then it evolved and you can't do it that way anymore and so forth. And for Rancho Sarita, and there are, I think, about 70 of these community facilities districts in the state, this is a special taxing district, and the homes and businesses located in Rancho Sarita, the CFD area, will be assessed a property tax in order to finance, sell bonds and repay bonds to do the public infrastructure.
So roughly what we've got is people who don't live there yet.
Right.
If you want to move into a home that's going to be in the CFD area, we figured roughly $70 to $80 a month you would be paying in a CFD tax that people who live there now do not pay.
Yes, that would be about right.
So basically, if you move in and you're going to help us grow, you're going to pay for it.
This is part of growth paying for itself.
Right.
So that new residents and businesses will pay for the infrastructure needed for them.
You think people are going to hesitate to move down there because of this extra tax?
No. We have a smaller community facilities district associated with the Quail Creek development, and they report to us that they see no negative impacts on sales.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It is the Friday focus. We don't want to move ahead to Monday quite yet, do we, Rose? It's pushing toward 12:17 on this Friday afternoon. The mayor of Sarita sticks around for another segment, as does Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun. I'm Bill Buckmaster. We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. From cooking, cleaning, bathing, and drinking, the benefits of a Culligan system are obvious. You'll use less soap, shampoo, and detergent. Your appliances will last longer, your clothes will last longer, and stay brighter, too. All of this saves you money and adds to the quality of life. Not to mention softer skin and softer hair the whole family will enjoy. Culligan has been in Tucson since 1946, and we have seen about every water concern imaginable. We continue to stay on top of the newest state-of-the-art technology to deliver the refreshing, clean, and high-quality water that's become the Culligan hallmark of excellence. Try a Culligan water treatment system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental on an annual rental agreement. Schedule your free water test, and don't forget to ask about the Culligan high-efficiency water softener. Call 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to this Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. The mayor of the town of Sahuarita, Dwayne Bloomberg, is with us. Do people ever kid you about kind of the Mayor Bloomberg and think you're the Mayor Bloomberg of New York City?
Kidding, yes, but my name is spelled with a U and his with two O's.
Okay, anyway, I'm all full of questions today. Dan Scheer is here also from the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. I want to ask you about water.
Sure.
Does that concern you? There was that report that the Star had, that was front page, wasn't it, Dan?
Yes, it was. Yes.
About the CAP and the possibility
right.
of some big water shortages. Are you worried about your town?
Yes, maybe for a little different reason. The aquifer is a huge thing, you know, stretching from Mexico well up past Tucson and so mm-hmm. forth. But as far as our local portion of the aquifer is concerned, where we draw water and such, there is a substantial overdraft. It's on the order of 35 or 40,000 acre feet per year. In different terms, it's maybe as much as 12 or 13 billion gallons a year,
mm-hmm.
Which is, we're taking more out than is going back in, either through recharge or natural means and so forth. And that's not sustainable over a long time. Now, there's lots of water there, but of course, the deeper you go in the aquifer, there are chemical changes, mm-hmm. yeah. cost of getting to the water, and all of these kinds of issues. So we need to find more water that can be recharged locally.
Hmm.
And
well, how deep are you going now to get your water? Do you have any idea? How, I mean,
an interesting story. A former member of the town council who's lived in our area for mm-hmm. a long time told me that his first job out of high school was going around and convincing people that they should switch over to electricity from diesel because mm-hmm. of for pumps and all. Mm-hmm. And he pointed out some wells that were then producing at about 60 feet mm-hmm. that are now producing at 800 and some odd
Whoa.
Feet.
Whoa. Whoa. Here's Dan Scheer.
Okay, speaking of water, talk about the Pima Mine Road Bridge and the CAP pipeline and how that might help the issue.
Right. There's a bridge on Pima Mine Road crossing the river, the Santa Cruz River, and that bridge is in need of replacement, and it's been on our wish list, if you will, for some time. And now we do have the funding for this, and we will be starting that project early next year sometime. So one of the things is the new bridge will be designed in such a way that it will be able to carry the weight of several water pipelines that will run under the bridge. And this is important because the terminus of the Central Arizona Project, the Colorado River Water, is near the casino on I-19. And we need to be able to move it from there down to the east and then eventually to the south. So this bridge will help that, and we expect a CAP City of Tucson jointly owned line and a the Community Water Company mm-hmm. pipeline will also go there.
So yeah, a couple people coming off that CAP.
But the main thing is to find the wet water to bring in the pipeline.
Right.
What is this I hear about your community is one of the safest, or actually named safest among Arizona municipalities of 10,000 plus?
Right. And note that the average size of a community in Arizona is about 9,000 or so. So we're kind of in the upper part of that with 27,000. Yes, we were named the safest community, and I'm very proud of that. Our police are good, and I like to see this community policing. When I ride around with the officers, they know the residents of the areas that they're patrolling. The residents know them, and we encourage people to report anything that seems unusual or out of the ordinary. We'd rather go and find that there's nothing to it mm-hmm. than to miss the chance of making something right.
So is that an attractive law enforcement station for posting for these people? Are you competitive financially in getting these jobs for law enforcement in your police department?
Yes. In fact, a number of our police officers have come from the Tucson Police Department over the years. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay. The port of entry, as we know, is expanding down there on the Mexico border.
Yes.
And are we going to be seeing more trucks coming up on I-19 out of Mexico? And what's happening with I-11?
Okay. The answer to more traffic from Mexico, probably so, if we can get the entry fixed up there at the Mexican-American border, where there are, I'm going to get this wrong, but at the new port of entry, that gave lots of lanes for truck traffic, but it all collapses down to a single lane to try to get over to I-19. And that's
big
that
bottleneck
has got to somehow get done. Now, on the I-11, here's my understanding of the current situation. The route of I-11 from Las Vegas to Wickenburg has been determined by the Congress, and so we know where that's going to go. Now, where's the rest of it going to go? Well, there are no exact lines, but a decision has been taken that it's going to head down to Nogales and to the crossing there near Nogales. The next step is presumably some environmental studies, which are estimated to cost $60 million, and the southern Arizona part may be $15 million. And so far, nobody's willing to come up with that, and maybe for good reason, because there's a limited time for which that's valid, a study is valid, and there's no construction money at this time.
There's no money for this.
There's no money to build I-11.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not a bad idea to plan it and think about where it might go, and all, because something like that will have to happen someday.
At one point, people were talking about it actually hooking into where Sarita Road and I-19.
Right. Yeah, there's some maps that show that.
Yeah, and made a few people nervous. So
yeah,
at this point, it's a while off.
Yeah. Our town has become kind of a focus of some transportation plan. You have the I-11 mm-hmm. and where that might connect with I-19. And you also have the desire to connect I-10 to I-19 south of the airport somewhere. And so you can see how to get over to Nogales Highway from I-10, but how do you get over to I-19? And maybe there'll be some action that will involve the town in that.
We're going to have to wrap this up very soon, but are new homes being built in Sahuarita?
Yes, of course. at a much lower rate than they were at the time of the boom. But we're basing our budget projections and so forth on about 2% a year growth now, and that's pretty accurate for what we're seeing.
Your population is what right now, though?
About 27,000.
And that grew from practically nothing.
Right. In the 2000 census, it was the population was about 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's grown very dramatically.
What about your own political career? When are you up for re-election?
Well, because of some changes that the legislature made, my term is actually on the council is actually going to extend till November of 2018.
For life.
Well,
your life
seems that way. No. I enjoy being
all right.
on the council.
Mayor Bloomberg, sure. Thank you very much for being
thank
with
you,
us.
Driving up from
Sahuarita to be on the Buckmaster Show. Dan is going to stick around, and Mari Herreras joining us from the Tucson Weekly. We certainly have no shortage of things to talk about, and we will be right back to talk about them after this.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. As the U.S. prepares to send up to 300 special operations forces into Iraq, the Pentagon says it wants a written agreement from the Iraqi government to make sure that those forces will have appropriate legal protections. The Kremlin is dismissing the peace plan being put forward today by Ukrainian President Poroshenko. He's ordered his forces to cease fire and stop military operations for 1 week against pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine. Texas Governor Rick Perry says it was a mistake for him to compare alcoholism and homosexuality. He told a forum hosted by the Christian Science Monitor that he stepped right in it after being asked during a trip to California last week if homosexuality is a disorder. On Wall Street, the Dow's up about 28 points. The NASDAQ is ahead 4. More details at srnnews.com.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us they'd get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. My name is Bill Buckmaster. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. This is our Friday roundtable. Dan Scheer sticks around from our in-studio interview with the mayor of Sahuarita. Dan is the editor of Sahuarita Sun and the Green Valley News, and Mari Herreras is here. Mari is the one of the writers, staff writers, for the Tucson Weekly. Mari, we will welcome you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Beautiful day today.
Very nice. Good to see you. Let's begin with the A-10 vote in the House. The U.S. House last night overwhelmingly adopted an amendment to the 2015 defense appropriation bill that would prohibit the Pentagon from spending any money to retire the A-10. Of course, the A-10 is a mainstay of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. Estimated, Dan, that there are about 2,000 jobs directly associated with the A-10. Our friend Terry Bracey, who is the Buckmaster Washington contributor, sent me an email. Terry also is a Tucson lobbyist, represents the city of Tucson. He sent me an email, and I'll give you his quote. He thinks this is really significant. He called it the greatest legislative victory in the House by an Arizona congressman since Mo Udall's sometimes lonely fight to save Alaska lands. And, of course, he's referring to this being a victory for Representative Ron Barber, the Tucson Democrat from CD2. Your thoughts, Dan?
Well, it is interesting, especially because earlier this month, the House committee voted to scrap the A-10, and now we have this turnaround, of course. But in the end, though, Bill, the A-10 is going to go away. The question is, will we have a replacement for it? And the F-35 is probably 2 years off. We know that that its capabilities are completely different. It's very interesting going on Department of Defense websites and people who have been in this industry and just seeing what they have to say, and they're really split on it. But really, there are two factions at play here. The military has its back against the wall up budget-wise, and politicians like Representative Ron Barber want to come in and save the day by keeping the A-10 in service. And so there's a lot of politics involved here, unfortunately. The question really is, what's best for the country? And I think the mayor of Sahuarita pointed out earlier, you know, we're not in a position to really make that decision, but it's interesting to hear people weighing in.
We had, Mari, we had Frank Antonori on the show, and when people say Frank Antonori, he's a lightning rod. I mean, I qualified it by saying, you know, Frank is here to talk with us not about politics. He was in his role as, he really knows a lot about weapons systems. Mm. He's an executive at Raytheon. He's very much into the whole weapons systems deal, and he has the theory that we need to kind of really get on the ball here for after the A-10.
That's what I've read as well. It seems like one of the backs against the wall, so to speak, as Dan mentioned, is that the money that would be saved in retiring the A-10 needs to go toward coming up with new aircraft and making
joint missions. Frank was talking about joint missions with Fort Huachuca, where they're doing all this drone work, and that's kind of the direction the Air Force is going in.
Absolutely, and that's been the interesting thing here, is because we've learned more, the layman has, what the A-10 does, and it does close air support. And if you wonder what that looks like, head out west of Aravaca sometime and watch them train. Mm. You'll swear that they're going to fly right down your throat. They get real low to the ground. They're basically flying cannons is what they are, and people in the know are saying, we don't have anything else that can do this. The F-35 certainly couldn't, but we have 300 of these left about, and they are going away. And so what is the new primary mission going to be for Davis-Monthan? That is a very good question.
Well, and this fits, of course, the big issue between Ron Barber and Colonel McSally has been who's done the most to save the A-10. And I don't know how all this is going to play out. But I noticed that in CD2 now there's going to be a debate. The three candidates, Dan, have gotten together and
We're talking about it. We had invited all three of them down to Green Valley and Saurita for a public forum. And as we know, Martha McSally has been very difficult to get a hold of and to commit to not only answering basic questions but also to going in front of a crowd. She's basically pretending that she's not in a primary battle. And so just this week, though, I heard from her people, and they're reconsidering. They haven't committed yet, but reconsidering a public forum down there that would put all three GOP primary candidates on the same stage answering questions from the constituents, and I think that's exactly what should happen.
What about Wooten? How has that played out?
Yeah, Chuck Wooten, retired Air Force Chief Master Sergeant. He is in the race, of course, and then small business owner Shelley Kice. Mr. Wooten survived a signature challenge.
He did, and so he's in it. And he's raring to go forward. And I interviewed and wrote a column about him a couple of weeks ago. He is a very different candidate than Martha McSally, at least in temperament. So it's real interesting. And of course, if you know his story, back in December, he made national headlines by coming out against a national budget proposal that would have cut the cost of living allowances for veterans, and suddenly he's projected into the national limelight, and as a result decided that he was going to run. After talking to him about several issues, I can tell you this. I think he's qualified to run. Shelley Kice, have not met with her yet. We've interviewed her just for her story when she announced, but we have three really interesting candidates, but everybody knows Martha McSally has the numbers. She has the money. But if Martha's listening, you still need to answer questions from the people in the district, and that's all we're asking.
Well, we've had Martha on the show a couple of times. We've had Shelley Kice on the show. We do need to get Mr. Wooten on the program. Sounds like he does have an interesting story. You know, Dan was saying, Mari, that Martha has a reluctance, whether it's her or the people that are handling the campaign, to be involved in a primary debate. And that's not too unusual in my experience covering politics, that usually the front runner, who is considerably well ahead according to the polling, doesn't really see anything to gain by doing
I mean, there's
a debate.
There's definitely truth to that, right? But
absolutely.
Boy, look at the last election, right? Mm-hmm. And you had some interesting things happen with her seat, where she had to deal with some really odd inner workings of the Republican Party. And I think for the first time, I kind of really felt for her, you know, and because it's a bit of that crazy land politics that we deal with in Pima County, especially.
It is, and it is very frustrating, because really what you have here is strategy meets reality.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true.
And our reality is that as journalists, we just want to give information to people.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Her reality is that it's
What's
all about
the game?
Yeah, exactly. And if we have this public forum and the Democrats show up and they're going to videotape her, and then they're going to pull something out of context. It's going to yeah. go viral, and yeah. we get it.
I don't think it takes, though, the Democrats to sit there with their video cameras for things to go viral to make crazy stuff.
I mean,
I remember seeing her at the Saddlebrook forum that they had up there. Again, you know, those are nice, safe spaces to share your true self. But I think what did they ask the question about what animal are you? And
she was like the tiger. Yeah, I mean, everything, every word is being scrutinized when you get into these CD races.
True.
I want to talk about clean elections, voting to investigate Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn. This news really came out probably within hours after we had Mr. Horn here on the show for a half an hour on Wednesday. Very interesting, Amari, when I asked him about Mark Brnovich, his opponent in the GOP, and a lot of the GOP Republican people have really high hopes for Mr. Brnovich for defeating Tom Horn. But Tom, he said that he called Mark a minor leaguer with zero name recognition. In fact, we said, he said, if you ask 100 people, have you ever heard of Mark Brnovich, Tom Horn said, not one would say they'd heard of him. But now ask 100 people, have you heard of Tom Horn? And yes, they probably, a substantial number will say they've heard of Tom, but is it good publicity or bad publicity?
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. We had a little bit of a laugh before we went on air about that. And part of it is that Tom Horn has this nice trail of publicity that's not the kind that he wants. And to make comments like that is just so typical sometimes of what we deal with, which makes you understand why I think there is strong Republican support for Mark and his campaign.
Yeah, they think Mark would be Republicans feel Mark would be a better candidate going against Felicia Rotellini. Rather than a Horn Rotellini rematch,
right? And she's out there making tracks, yeah. and she's out there leaving some really good impressions. And
so who's Tom blaming? The liberal
media, I think is the way he worded it. And you know, talk about a master of deflection. It's like, you know, Tom, you had an affair. You're fighting allegations of illegally coordinating efforts during your 2010 campaign. Now you're under investigation for possibly using your office to run campaign activities. You know, Tom Horn, my message is go away. Just do us a favor and go
away.
Are you part of the liberal conspiracy?
He would think so.
So if Tom, if that gets back to Tom, I'm sure he's just going to say, oh, it's not Bill, it's Dan Scheer talking here, who's part of the liberal conspiracy. Mari, while we have you here, we always like to ask you TUSD questions because that's one of the areas you cover. Superintendent Sanchez, the board approved a $12,600 bonus for superintendent, and I don't know, is that in line with what would be expected of to some people? I'm sure it might sound high. Others might think, well, that's nothing.
The bonus itself is not an unusual thing. This is that time where they, you know, get a grade and it's part of the package when you're when you sign the deal. And the only thing that I think is different this time around is that previous superintendents had donated their, or, you know, didn't accept or donated it back. Or I think the last one that John Petticone received, he donated it back to, of course, now I can't remember the name of the group, but it's a group that does a lot of work with TUSD school kids doing like shoe collections, eyeglass collections, and things like that. That's where he gave his donation, his bonus because we're a district that's hurting. And back then, especially when we're closing schools, and it's hard to see. He's done great things, but at the same time, we're not there yet.
But what do you think about the fact that he's been here less than a year and he's getting this bonus, which I think translates to about 5% or something? That's, you know, less than a year.
Well,
I know he's met some goals.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it sort of raises questions.
Yeah. And I know that people in those positions do sign contracts that get bonuses. I still think it's an odd thing in education, public education, myself. But that's a lot of money for being here less than a year.
Rose, pull that. We've got a story up on the screen. This is up on the Star website from Howard Fisher, Capital Media Services, about Senator Melvin may exit the gubernatorial race, having apparently some funding issues. We are scheduled, Rose, right, to have Senator Melvin with us next week for a half an hour. That should be interesting to see if something does come of this. But that is a crowded race. And actually, we also have another gubernatorial candidate. We have Mayor of Mesa.
Scott Smith.
Scott Smith is going to be with us on Monday. And that's that is an interesting race. You've got a lot of candidates. A lot of Republican business leaders like Mayor Smith, a lot of Mesa, but they are very worried that he's just getting going to get lost in this mix of you got seven or eight
candidates.
Seems
like that happens with all these elections where you have 20 million candidates. People do get lost. I'd be concerned, and Ducey's got the money, and he's out there. And
right. We're seeing it thin, though, a little bit, because that story also that Rose pulled up says that maybe Andrew Thomas is going to be bouncing out, too. So that's two gone. But I think that the front runners, Scott Smith, Doug Ducey, obviously, and Ken Bennett. So okay. I think it's going to come down to those three. Focusing
Rose,
on
let
that.
Me read that quote. Senator Melvin said if he can't get the donations in by next week, he might just as well tell state election officials to leave his name off the ballot. Well, maybe he'll have some news for us by Wednesday when he's going to be with me in studio. So, you got a crowded ballot. Anything can happen, but Doug Ducey seems to be the front runner. However, the polls do show, Mari and Dan, that like 50%, half of the people are undecided.
Absolutely.
On the Republican
side. I'm not surprised by that at all.
This is Arizona, too.
Yeah.
Yes, it is Arizona, how well we know. Okay, Rose, should we wrap it up? We will. This is the Friday Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show, and we have Matt Russell coming up with Weekend Watch. He has all sorts of good tips on where to dine out this weekend. Mari, it's good to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Hope you have a great weekend, and Dan, same to you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views, but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun. It's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac, business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900.
Let the weekend begin. That is the music that signals the weekend here on the Buckmaster Show. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. If you're looking for a great place to get away and escape the heat, may I suggest a 3-hour road trip east of Tucson, then take a left off basically I-10 at Lordsburg and head up to Silver City. Before you know it, you're up at a mile-high elevation. You're in historic Silver City with all the great art galleries, things to do, the hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument just north of Silver City, and on it goes. Really a great weekend getaway. Check it all out at southwestnewmexico.org with all the things to do and places to stay, like Casitas de Gila, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show, award-winning Tucson publicist and the food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business, all-around nice guy, foodie, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Bill. Happy Friday. You know, we're going to be celebrating the start of summer this weekend, so we're kind of planning our food and cocktail menus to celebrate the occasion. It's fun.
I know you try to stay cool, but going into Russell Public Communications this morning, dripping wet, just out of the pool, come on.
We actually need to talk to our landlord to have him do a rooftop pool here. What do you think about that?
What do you have at the top of the list? It is TGIF.
Indeed it is, and here's a delicious way to kick off the weekend, and it all starts at 4 p.m. today. Bill, it's the 4th Avenue Food Fest along the east side of 4th Avenue, beginning right around University Boulevard. You can expect to see some local farmers market vendors, art exhibits, and some musical performances, and of course goodies from area restaurants, which I hope will include the Beeline, which has always been one of my favorite 4th Avenue eateries. I say head on over to 4th Avenue this afternoon for the Food Fest, and I promise that you won't leave hungry.
Yeah, I know, and you'll bring an appetite, and you'll probably be there at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and probably will not stop eating until the lights go out. But, no, you've always got a good appetite, and that's what one of the things we love about Matt Russell. He's always ready for a good meal, or how about a good luau?
Yeah, you know, as I said, summer officially arrives this weekend, so why not head down to Sonoyta tomorrow for the Arizona Hops and Vines Summer Solstice Luau. This party gets underway at 6 o'clock, and for only $20, you'll enjoy tastes of 6 local wines along with a whole roasted pig that's going to be prepared by our good friends from Mama's Hawaiian Barbecue. They're even going to have a bonfire planned for the evening, and what better way to celebrate the summer than with a bonfire, wine, and pigs Anytime is a good time for a luau, Bill, and Sonoida is the place to be tomorrow night.
And something tells me the people that run Mama's really know how to do the pig. They know how to do it right. And I would not know where to begin, but they, I'm sure, do.
I start at the cheek and work my way down.
There you go. How about Splash?
Yeah, if you'd rather stay closer to home on Saturday and still want a fun night out, head over to La Encantada on Skyline and Campbell for their annual Splash event. It benefits the Southern Arizona Arts and Cultural Alliance, and they're going to be featuring a vibrant fashion and art displays, music, some cirque performances, and great food and cocktails from more than 20 participating restaurants, including two of my favorites, North Italia and Blanco Tacos and Tequila. This is a fun night that awaits you tomorrow at Splash at La Encantada, all for such a great cause.
All right, Matt, we'll look for the column in Inside Tucson Business, which is addressing what this week?
We're talking about casual summer dining, and a new restaurant has launched a new menu that is anything but casual. You got to check this out.
Have a great weekend, my friend.
Cheers, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. All the in-studio guests get a nice chilled bottle of Culligan. Everybody is happy with the arrangement. The Buckmaster Show. It is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my producer, she's the best, the lovely, talented Rosemary Brandt. She's also a very nice person. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend and urging you to tune us in over the weekend for Expert Talk, beginning tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock with our friend, the gardener, Phil Cedar. Have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.